Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're tuned into the Nafs Connection podcast with me, Seema Azmat. I'm an ACC credentialed life coach with the International Coaching Federation, ICF, and a certified faith-based self-discipline coach. I coach Muslim women live a fulfilled life connected to their innate awareness and tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill the purpose of their life and deen through self-discipline without the fear of judgments and failures. We are in season 2 of the Spiritual Connection Stories series. Listen to me talk to my guests about their spiritual connection stories, their pivotal moments, inspirations and aspirations with regards to their connection with themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with an hope that this creates an inspiration for you too, inshallah. My guest today is Sister Khadija Al-Qadur. She is an Awaken and Thrive motherhood expert and a parenting mentor. She helps empower Muslim mothers to rediscover themselves, reclaim their self-worth, taqwa, purpose, and connected relationships to show up authentically thriving. So welcome, Khadija.
Thank you for having me here, Seema.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So how are you today?
I'm well, alhamdulillah. It's an honor to finally be able to do this with you, to have this conversation with you, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Same here, alhamdulillah. So I guess can you just share a little bit about yourself with our listeners, inshallah?
Yeah, sure, inshallah. So as you said, I'm Awaken and Thrive motherhood expert. So I've been teaching workshops and since about 2014, mainly to mothers on parenting, and my background's in child psychology, child development, and I have a few different other modalities. I coach mothers, pretty much helping them to reclaim their soul and to awaken to their self-worth and to their needs, alhamdulillah. I am a seventh generation Australian and my father is Lebanese. So my heritage is Australian, Irish and Lebanese. And I have, alhamdulillah, I have five sons ranging from age of 2 to 22. And I think my passion is just seeing people thrive and grow, alhamdulillah, through understanding the psychology of how they think.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That's so interesting, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And Allah mubarak. I guess being a mother of five boys must also be a handful, subhanallah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Different ages, different needs, yes, and different requests, and subhanallah, alhamdulillah. For the journey.
Alhamdulillah, Allahumma barik, ameen. So inshallah, I just want to get started with the main topic, which is the spiritual connection story. And the one question which I usually get started with is, what was your earliest understanding of who Allah is?
My earliest of understanding of who Allah is was actually through my mother. My mother's a revert, so she's she came from she's a Catholic Irish Australian revert. She converted to Islam in the late 70s, I think a year before I was born. So my mother had this, she just really brought us up to understand that Allah was very loving and that Allah is you always trust in Allah. There was always this concept of a positive image of Allah. So she had this really passion. I think it was because she came into the deen. So she had this real appreciation for being a Muslim. And she showed that through the way that she taught us about deen. Especially I lived in a place called Wollongong, which is near Sydney. And my mother always had this motto in regards to non-Muslim life, you don't want to be like them, they're actually deep down unhappy. So she tried to teach us, especially the stories of the prophets, and she'll tell us the biblical stories, and she'll tell us the prophet stories and show us how closely aligned they were. She had this deep love for Jesus as a prophet of Allah. She basically brought us up with a very pure concept of Islam that wasn't kind of culturally influenced. So we were very brought up on very strong values of my mother never gossiped. She never, there was this really strong values of just always trusting and turning to Allah, but Allah's very loving. So we grew up this concept that Allah's there for us, that our basically our tawakkul was built, a very strong tawakkul mindset that all Muslims, she basically taught us that belief that all Muslims are good people, that they're kind, that they're God conscious, that He's a very merciful Lord. And so she just had so much serenity in her faith as we grew up that she saw our faith and our understanding of Allah is as somewhat as like in a beautiful way. There was no concept of rules. There was no concept of haram. There was no concept of any kind of negativity towards Islam in any way. It was very much a person that had really embodiment of who of God consciousness to call and trust in Allah, that we that was our first basic review. And we lived in a place where there was no Muslims, so very little Muslims. Wollongong in those days, which is about 2.5 hours from Sydney in Australia, we went to a public school where we were the only Muslim family, and it was during the Gulf War. So there was, it was a difficult time for Muslims during that time, especially if you had any kind of Arab descent.
Mm-hmm.
And so our first representation of Islam really came from my mother, kind of how she raised us up as a refert, kind of searching herself and learning about her deen.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember as a child listening to her trying to learn stories with my father, learn the Arabic. And mm-hmm. my only other experience of knowing Allah was from a madrasa that we would attend on Saturdays. So yes, subhanAllah, probably my first concept and perception of Allah was very much of a place of love and compassion and mercy.
SubhanAllah, subhanAllah, that's so beautiful. It just like tells me, you know, how impactful it is when a parent is like, the way a parent shares about who Allah is with their children and the kind of impact that brings in our lives, like, you know, in the children's lives, that is what it speaks to.
Very
me,
much
like,
so.
You know, subhanAllah.
Yeah. And I think that's been, I cannot tell you how much that has been probably a huge factor of my tawakkul mindset and my confidence and resilience has actually probably mostly come from this real strong belief and trust in Allah's plan that mum really inculcated in us as young children. So it was like I had a very strong blueprint around a positive perception of Allah. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting now as an adult and working with so many mothers and Muslim women and that, and knowing how many people are so disconnected to themselves, but in particular, a huge disconnection to the lens of who they see Allah. And for me, that was just a given. Like I was just basically given that. And I was given such a great concept of who Allah is and very believing that He's for all best of planets. You know, he always turned to Him. I remember mum, when she had to move when I was 16 years old from my city that I was living in, I just gotten married. I was 17, sorry. Very, very young. And she said, I might not be there for you, but know that Allah always has your back. Like, you can always turn to Allah. And I thought, and always trust in Him, like He will always be there for you. So there was always this belief that Allah, that you're never alone, that there will always, Allah will always be there for you.
SubhanAllah, subhanAllah. That's so true, subhanAllah. And what a beautiful thing to say to your child, like, you know, that... that I may not always be there, but Allah is there for you. And I guess, subhanAllah. And I guess, like, you know, in my experience, what I have seen is that even when you are not in that state, you know, when you're not in the state of tawakkul, there are times when Allah will put you through tests that, you know, that shows that it's only Him. It's always Him, you know. It's just
yeah.
Like somehow like the people just disappear, like, you know, and you're just left alone to discover that for yourself, that it is only Allah, like, you know, subhanAllah, subhanAllah.
And what I'm hearing from you is that sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't.
Yes, We don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Subhanallah,
Yeah.
that's true. So I'm thinking, like, you know, in the moments that you when you weren't able to see this for yourself, what was it like for you? Like, you know, what helped you? What helped you find that tawakkul in your life?
I think it's, you know, subhanAllah, it's the times that I've probably had the most tawakkul was in the times of those tests. So I can remember when I was going through divorce, I was exiting like an 18-year marriage, and I think it was 2013 from memory. And I remember one day I was crying in the car because I used to work as a program coordinator for a newborn after school care. So I was basically a supervision officer for these children. Duty of care was my main role, because I have a child protection background. And then the only time I'd literally come from working with kids and then coming back to my children, and I had to work at that time because I had to pay my own rent and bills and things like that and debts. And yeah, I would cry. The only time I'd grieve or cry or process anything would be like pretty much the drive to work and then back in the car and the drive back. That was like a 15-minute drive. So it's the only time I usually would have that alone time to be able to process everything that was going on, how my children were reacting, the whole situation and that. And I remember I was driving once and I just was like, you know, I was talking to Allah. I literally talked to Allah. I had that, I knew that's who I trusted the most to talk to at that time. And I remember that came to my mind, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, where it's really thinking about Ibrahim alayhi salam's story. And that realization came that, yeah, Allah, you're really truly the only one that can help me through my condition. Like, you're the only one that can cause that transformation. You're the only one that allow will provide for me from, you know. And it reminded me of how, like, Allah is abundant and is available to flow the abundance to you with his permission. And it helped me in those moments to really understand that Allah is merciful and is loving, but he is abundant, like he's ready to give. And so my expectations were, Allah, just give me whatever I need, you know, whatever is in store for me, whatever is best for me. And I constantly would make the dua of Yunus, which is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, which basically means, you know, Yunus alayhi salam, if he had not made this dua to Allah, asking Allah for forgiveness and seeking his mercy, he would not have been able to exit the whale. And so I kept making that dua with a full trust that Allah, I can't see a way out of my situation, or I can't see a way out of the distress that I'm feeling, or the worries or stress. But you are the one that can give me that rida, that contentment. You're the only one that can give me the outcome. And I constantly just remember the ayat Quran where I think it's in Surah Talha, you know, it says, you know, Allah will provide him for sources he never could imagine. And I remember at that time, because I was broke. I was really broke. I was a single mom. I was trying to pay off debt and stuff. I had very little money at that time. And I had a situation where my car registration was expiring that day. And if it expires, I can't really drive the car and I need it to get to and from work. I didn't have enough money to pay for the registration. And I kept asking Allah, you know, and I said, Allah, you know, you said whoever put your trust in him, that will suffice him. You know, I kept just saying, Allah, you said that whoever trusts you, so I'm in need of any good that you have in store for me. Like, whatever, you're the only one that's going to accomplish it. You're the only one that's going to give me the outcome that I need. Allah, I'm pretty much begging you to give me what I need right now. And subhanAllah, I was making dua and everything. And that day, I heard a knock on the door. And one of my friends had come by. Two of my friends had stopped by. I didn't know they were coming. They came about lunchtime. Now, I needed to pay the registration for this car by pretty much by Maghrib, say, but before that, the time by 5 o'clock, the post office was closing to pay registration. And they came at lunchtime, and you know, they came and they checked in with me, and they said, "Pia, we know you're not doing too well, and we just want to leave this envelope for you." And I hadn't asked, I hadn't, seeked any from them in anything. I had asked a lot to make me independent, sufficiently independent, so I'm not in need of asking from anyone. And Allah had put me in that position, alhamdulillah, because I was able to get a job a week after divorce, pretty much, and start paying the rent and bills and things like that, start paying off debts. And I opened up the envelope after they left, and subhanAllah, the exact amount I needed for the car registration was in that envelope. And yeah, I pretty much left like an hour later, straight to the post office to go pay for the registration of this car, unbeknown to them that how much I needed that money that time. And it just reminded me how many times when you truly have that yaqeen and trust in Allah, He'll provide you from sources you could never imagine. I never imagined all of a sudden $1,000 will come into my hands in an envelope, and that I'd be able to pay that car ratio, and Allah would, and that I could use that car. He will provide from unexpected sources. And I suppose that, I think that that lesson through that divorce, and Allah, subhanAllah, so many times when you reflect, Allah will show you that He does help you to accomplish your purpose. I look at what I do right now in the coaching and mentoring with Muslim mothers. That was a dua back in 2014, Ya Allah. That I know I have the knowledge. I know I have I know I'm intuitive. I know, Allah, you've created me that way. Help me to get, and I have the knowledge to help other mothers to reclaim themselves, to build their self-worth, to let go of their, limiting beliefs that don't serve them anymore, and actually get more connected to themselves, but connected to Allah. And I kept making dua, Allah, make me impactful on a worldwide level. That's what I said. That was my dua. And subhanAllah, since then, like, I think many times I was offered talks at conferences and that for women, and it just made me connect to so many women worldwide. As you know, subhanAllah, you start meeting women in Canada and India and Australia and America and all these different places, subhanAllah, so subhanAllah, what Allah would do. And so that has been, I would say, my business and my income has been such, and money being provided from unexpected sources has been a huge tawakkul building or trust building exercise, knowing that Allah, really, when you truly trust that He will help you, He'll surprise you. He'll give you exactly what you need. You just have to believe that He will provide you, and He will provide you exactly when is best for your timing. Because I can remember being frustrated in 2014 saying, why can't I do the things that I want to do to help other Muslim women and that? But I didn't start that till 2018, 5 years later. So Allah knows, He knows exactly His plan, when is best for you. You just have to yakin, trust in that Allah will give you exactly what you need when you need it.
So true, subhanAllah, so many things, like, that I have been hearing in what you shared, Khadija. Number one, like what you said, the tawakkul and yaqeen, like, that's so great. And even like when you said that you didn't even ask these women for anything, like, you had friends, you had people, but you didn't even ask them. And then that's one of my core beliefs as well, beliefs or values, like, it's something that I truly believe that the only one that you need to be asking is asking Allah, subhanAllah.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
And when you ask Him, He creates these means for you, like, through people, through the situations and everything, and He brings the solution to you, right? SubhanAllah.
Yes. SubhanAllah. Yeah. And the second we start to think, if we misunderstand, think that it's only through my effort that, this is that concept that's kind of in out there about that you manifest through your own actions. When actual fact, Allah is the only one that manifests your outcome of anything that you do, because you can't even lift a finger without His permission, let alone achieve something from nothing. And so when we truly understand that it's only the Allah that it's only through Allah's abundance and support and permission that you achieve anything, you then always seek from the source, and you deny yourself through that process too. You can be the facilitator, you could be a mentor, you could be helping others, but you know that you're just the asbab, the means. Allah is the one that actually uses you to be of benefit to others. And that can only come from Allah, because Allah is the one that gives izzat. Allah is the only one that gives honor. Allah is the only one that can lower someone or raise someone. And that's only Allah, only Allah has the ability to do that.
Exactly, subhanallah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I guess there's a lot of misunderstanding, especially these days, because of all these solutions, like, you know, within courts that are available these days. And one of those is, like, you know, the misunderstanding that even Muslims actually, that they can get into, that they can actually manifest something into their lives, which is impossible. Like, you know, it's impossible that to even think that you are in the position of power, or you're in that kind of a place, you know, that you could do it for yourself. It's impossible. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has that capacity to he is the manifest one, right? He is the one who manifests these things for you. And
you could make all the effort in the world, but that if Allah doesn't give permission for it to come into being, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
And you and so that's always remembering that people a lot of time will attribute it back to their own effort or their own hard work, but the outcome is only in Allah's hands.
SubhanAllah.
Knowing it's only in Allah's hands puts you in a place to always remember. I suppose it helps you to understand that you are a humble servant of Allah, because you can't co-create. There's an idea that you manifest and you co-create. You can't co-create anything. Allah is the creator. You can make effort. The way Allah has created the means of this life is that you make effort. You tie a camel and you make effort. You don't just sit there and make dua. You actually make effort towards what you do. But the manifestation of that outcome is only in Allah's hands.
Indeed, without doubt. And that brings me into the next thing that you had mentioned, you know, which is the power of dua, because dua is the only way that you could actually manifest that into your life.
Exactly.
By asking them. And when you said that, like, you know, it was you were making dua to Allah to make you self-sufficient, even with your business and your income, in wanting to help people, subhanallah, it I can totally relate to that, because that, like, you know, in fact, actually, when right now being here, when you look back and you reflect on all the processes that you had to go through to be here, it's astounding, like, you know, how Allah has at every step of the way, at every moment, answered duas for you, and you are actually living an answered dua right now, you know, subhanallah.
And it's interesting when you say that, Seema, especially when you talk about, like, financial, like, Allah providing. I had a lot of money story blocks too, because I grew up in poverty, and so I had a lot of beliefs around money that I wasn't able to make or wasn't worthy, and I also experienced a lot of money or financial abuse or misuse of money in my previous marriage. So and money can be a very powerful method of keeping a person trapped in a certain relationship or unable to exit a relationship. So I had a lot of misconceptions around money, and when I accepted the belief that Allah is the provider, that he will provide from unexpected means, and that dua of being more financially secure and independent, so I can provide for my children and my own needs, definitely, you know, Allah allowed that to happen. But I had to have a replacement belief that understanding that only asking from Allah, and Allah is only one that will make it possible for me, and that Allah will provide through his abundance and support. And what helped me at that time, I remember, and making through that dua and seeing money in a different way, was because that's what happens a lot of time when you become a single mother. One of the biggest worries amongst a lot of single mothers is that financial worries. You know, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to? And many of them won't leave, say, example, abusive marriage, because they feel that they are trapped because of the financial responsibilities. But when you really trust in Allah and ask Allah to show you a way out, he can do that in any way. It's just really making the effort and trusting in his plan. But what helped me in that time is always, and until now really, is always remembering how Musa alayhi salam, and remember him understanding that when he was trapped between the Red Sea and the army of Fir'aun, he's standing there and he's not worried, because he has that full trust in Yahweh, that Allah was going to save him. Allah's got my back, and Allah's, even though he couldn't see the means, he couldn't see how am I going to get out of it? He didn't know that Allah was going to open the whole ocean in front of him and make a pathway through for him, as Allah is the opener, right? He didn't. Yeah. He would not have even fathomed that in that moment, that this huge ocean would all part in front of him. Imagine the sights of Allah. But yeah. he had that one thing, which is the crucial thing that Allah asks us to have in him, is trust the process, trust and have tawakkul. And if we come from that place, and what I see is most people are in a place of anxiety, in a place of fear, especially when you think about the little climate we're in with COVID and lockdowns and on all these things. When we truly understand to really turn our trust in Allah, that He is the best of planners, whatever happens is so khair in it. There's so much good in it. Mm. That even if it doesn't go according to your own plan, or even if some big test hits, and as they do, you know, we're always tested in different ways. Sometimes those tests can be so crushing that just pull you to the ground and you're just like, how do I even cope with this? I can't even breathe. But knowing that Allah knows that He's not going to burden you greater than you can handle, and that everything is temporary, even the tests that we go through, but it's also a process of up-leveling, or maybe to heal us, or maybe to help us to get to that station in Jannah that is meant for us. You start to see everything then is a sign for us. It's good for us, the bad and the good.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, you know, we tend to think that it is bad, but then in His qadr it is good, because it is bad because we are not able to and we don't have the capacity to even fathom what is ahead of us, right? It's in the hidden, yeah. It's in the unseen. So it may appear as if that it is bad, but in reality, anything in His qadr is never bad. You know, there is, like you said, khair in every situation. It's never really bad. Subhanallah.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, something what I heard you say is about the money stories, and, like, you know, it's the way we get caught up, right? And I hear that, like, you know, it's okay, I don't have this, or I don't have that, and I need to have more of this, and I need to have more of that. And when we come from the place of lacking and not having, I guess that's when we make more mistakes and mess up, you know, with our decisions and with the choices more so than when we are actually in tawakkul of Allah, right? And then that goes for every situation.
Yeah.
Subhanallah. Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, you know, I hear that you're talking so much about tawakkul and having the taqwa of Allah, being mindful, and what helps you in being mindful of Allah?
What helps me in being mindful of Allah? I think maintaining and looking after my salat. I always notice if my salat is delayed, then I know that there's an imbalance and something to do, like something dunya wise is coming kind of first. And it's like, that's kind of my gauging, okay, teacher, you're not praying a salat on time, or you're dropping some of your Quran. That's kind of helps me. I truly believe our salat is our anchoring, the really grounding. And whenever I've wanted to achieve something, Tahajjud has always been the answer. Like, you cannot get through a test without really turning to Allah. So I think the thing that makes me most mindful is establishing and maintaining the salat. I don't think anything keeps you as grounded as it does. The other thing that I pretty much practice every day for now about almost 10 years now, and I think it's a very crucial thing that's helped me, is always doing my adhkar, my morning du'as. Adhkar. The Prophet Muhammad says I've never left them. So there's obviously a protection and a means. And so I used to be kind of afraid of evil eye. I used to be afraid of people harming me. I used to have a lot of thinking around that. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like because I've put my protection du'as up, it's like my armor, like my weaponry is put up. And so I feel that more confident in whatever I'm doing, I'm showing up in a place that I've put my protection in. So I'm making the effort to protect myself from harm. I feel like my morning, if I don't, if I hadn't done my morning ARD Co, if I delayed it, then I don't feel the same. It's something that establishes me in the morning at the start of the day. And it's the one thing that I do when if I have to take the boys to school. It's a necessary and normal part of our morning routine. So what, a lot of people might do, they might put the radio on or they're listening to other things. But if you establish that habit, you're kind of anchoring. So my children naturally, over years of always hearing the morning du'as and dhikr and adhkar done in the morning, they will remind me when we jump in the car. It's like it's become anchored that when you jump in a car, you do your morning du'as. And what's really beautiful about that, when you anchor something, especially with children, they're most likely then, inshallah, when they're adults, because it's been a repetitious behavior, but it's also affiliated with a positive emotion. Like you feel good when you've done it and you've accomplished something. They're more likely, inshallah, to practice that habit as an adult, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. That's wonderful advice, actually. And I can vouch for that myself. Subhanallah. And I can also notice the effects of that in case, like, sometimes, like what you said, you forget and, like, or delay it or you forget. It immediately, the entire day, you can just feel the attacks, coming in from all directions. Subhanallah. And it's so important, like, because this is the word that I usually use, like, when it comes to the waswas, right? It's the infiltration. I see it as if, like, your heart is this, it's protected, and it's like it's this fortress. And then you miss out what needs to, like, what you it's like what you said about the armor, right? It's like you when you miss out on the protection, you forget or you delay or whatever, it's like you're giving that opportunity for this enemy to infiltrate into your territory and just blow in all
That's
these
right.
whispers and, suggest these things to you which are completely not true, and we end up believing that it is coming from us, right? Subhanallah.
That's so true.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's and I just want to reiterate the point and importance of maintaining the habit of Azkar and the Quran. And one more thing that I what you said was what I about the Salah. Subhanallah. What I was thinking when you were mentioning that is like it is not just in vain that Allah is saying that Salah is going to be the first thing that He is going to be questioning about on the Day of Judgment, right? So, when you said that that is the anchor, when you said that if my Salah is not great, that is what is like tells me that my heart is attached to dunya now and it's not in it's not attached to Allah anymore. Subhanallah, that's a great point. And I guess, like, even for myself, I that is how I gauge myself as well, like, the first thing. And that's what came to me when you said that. It's like it's not in vain. It's absolutely not in vain why Allah, this is the reason. This is the reason why He's going to be checking you. This is the thing that He's going to be checking with you, the first thing on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So just to like to move forward, if you were like to capture in essence in one statement, or maybe like let me just rephrase that question. What is it like, from our conversation, whatever we have been talking about, what is the one thing that you want our listeners to take away?
I think it's something, if I had to take something away, it's knowing that your perception of Allah is going to impact the way you connect to Him. And so it's a relationship that you actually have to be more consciously aware. When we truly see Allah from a different perception of how capable He is, how merciful He is, how abundant He is. We have a different relationship with Allah. And I've seen this so much because our dominant thinking is going to drive our reaction. You know, we're always feeling our thoughts at any moment. So when you have any kind of belief that is if you feel disconnected to Allah in any way, there's usually some thinking or belief that's being created that is changing your perception of Allah. So getting to know yourself is part of the relationship of getting to know Allah, to become more consciously aware of what are you telling yourself? What is the belief or stories or labels that you're telling yourself that has disconnected you to Allah, if you're feeling some disconnect to Allah? And when I absolutely accept the fact that I'm capable and I reclaim myself, my own love based and worthiness based on the perception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds of me, I am worthy just for the fact that Allah has given me iman. Yes, I'm flawed. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I do things that may be displeasing to Him. But because Allah has given me iman, that gives me honor already. Mm-hmm. So really just tapping in that, accept the fact that I am good enough as Allah's already created me worthy. And so my worthiness isn't based on a false perception of myself or kind of like an egoistic perception of myself. It's based on that Allah has given me honor just because I've been given iman. And so it helps me, I suppose, to take more responsibility for the amana of my life, because I'm not worried then about what people's perception of me are, because it becomes more about Allah's perception of me. If the second you start worrying about what people's perception of you are, that's where you can turn into the trap of getting the validation from people or doing things or saying things to please or displease people. But the second you always keep that, what is Allah thinking of me at this time? What is Allah, how will Allah hold me accountable? Reminds me of that when Omar radiallahu anhu said, you know, hold yourself accountable before you're accounted for. You know, and when you don't be deceived by your actions, you be really not deceived by your intention, we really are consciously aware. What is my intention when I write this? So what is my intention when I say this? What is my intention when I do this? That intuition is so powerful, because you only then connect, that self-awareness means that you then connect to Allah. And I think even Qayyim talked about that. It's like a station of awareness. The more Allah loves you, He will make you more consciously aware of yourself, your actions, what you do. That actually comes from knowing yourself. So if anyone was to walk away, to know yourself and know yourself personally, to know your intuition, the inner wisdom that Allah puts in your picture, that will never steer you in the wrong way if you're connected to Allah. And so always know that Allah will guide your heart towards what you need. You have to know, think of Allah. Allah in a way that creates a connected experience with Him. Because if there's any kind of disconnect, when there's any kind of thinking that about Allah, any negative or any disconnect, know that's always coming from the lens of perception of how you're seeing Him. So always check into yourself, what's the perception I'm holding Allah? Because Allah has the ability to do anything. Allah is the source of love and happiness. And you know, subhanAllah, people sometimes don't like you talking about Allah. Like I find that sometimes in the social media space or that, like you have those conversations, you know, sometimes they don't like you keep mentioning Allah. But if you're Allah is the only one that's going to get you where you need to go. So Allah's given everything in our deen. You want to talk about healthy boundaries, it's in your deen. You want to talk about loving yourself, it's for your deen. Like everything is in your deen, and really the source of all anxiety, depression, everything that we experience is really reconnecting back to ourselves and holding a perception of Allah, accepting that Allah already created me good enough because He already created me worthy because He's given me iman.
Yeah, subhanAllah. That's I love that. Like, you know, I love, it reminds me of Allah is as you see Him. It's the hadith.
Exactly.
It's the way you perceive Allah, that's how you're going to experience Allah in your life, you know.
So powerful.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And like, you know, even thinking, you know, that's exactly what it is. The way you think about Allah is how he's going to appear to you, subhanAllah. And subhanAllah, and even with what you said about people don't like listening about Allah, they don't like hearing about Allah, it's again because they are so driven by their nafs, they're so driven by their the desires and those kind of things, you know, that they are blinded by wanting to even come close to Allah or hear to or to listen about him. And subhanAllah, may Allah guide
and sometimes Seema, it's a level of ignorance. They've never got to taste what it is to, you know, they may have been brought up with all they heard was haram and rules, and so they really were given a negative perception of Allah in their blueprint as a child. So sometimes if you haven't had or you had a very cultural upbringing of Islam, or you weren't brought up with a real connection to Allah, you have the opportunity now as an adult to reconnect to Allah. And that's accessible to every single one of us, because Allah created each and one, every one of us with a fitra that has that inner knowing of Allah, has that inner wisdom that Allah puts into the fitra, into our intuition.
SubhanAllah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I guess, like, you know, there is no blame on this is how my parents raised me, this is what they taught me, and this is how it is. Because like what you said, as an adult, it's your responsibility to go and find that out. And I see that, you know, sometimes people, they get uncomfortable with certain things, but that is the fitra calling out to them, you know, the discomfort that they feel, and not acknowledging that and not following that that knowing of Allah within you, that's a choice that one makes, you know, whether they want to go towards that understanding, follow that follow that compass or the internal guidance that is calling you, you know, to look more into who Allah is. And that is a choice each one of us has to make within ourselves, and each one of us will be held accountable for, right? SubhanAllah.
Yeah. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. Allah guide us all, keep us. Allahumma ameen. SubhanAllah. That was so wonderful, Khadija. I think this was very deep, very impactful, very profound discussion that we had, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And I wish I could go on for more, you know, but unfortunately, we'd have to end at some place. So where do you, like, if in case our listeners want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Probably best on Instagram. You just pop my name in, Khadija Akhro, and you'll be my Instagram page should come up on Awaken 5 Motherhood Expert. Or you can also find me on Facebook under Awaken 5 Motherhood Expert, inshallah.
Inshallah, alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan for that, and jazakallahu khairan for being here. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and having you here. Barakallahu fiki.
Wa alaikum
assalam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You were listening to the Nafs Connection podcast, brought to you by Level 10 Muslimah Life Coaching. To learn more about me and how you can work with me, visit my website www.level10muslimah.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram under level10muslimah.life.coaching. Stay tuned for more stories. This is your host Seema Azmat, aka Umrayyan, signing off. Until next time, stay blessed.